Welcome to Are You in the Know, an educational podcast brought to you by the Racine Unified School District. I'm Emily DeBaker, Chief of Staff, and I'm thrilled to be helping keep you in the know of all things RUSD. Consider this the inside scoop to what's happening in our schools, an opportunity to hear from some of our amazingly talented students, and a chance to get to know some of our incredible staff. We are thrilled to have our students back in the classrooms for another school year, and while they were enjoying their break, that means our teams have been working hard to ensure the schools they return to are conducive to learning. And a major part of that is ensuring our school spaces are safe and secure, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Joining us here today is RUSD Chief Operations Officer Peter Reynolds, RUSD Director of Safety and Security Eric Wartell, and RUSD Assistant Director of Safety and Security Jerome King. You guys, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
So it's certainly not a light issue, but definitely an important one to talk about school safety, always relevant in our worlds and I would say across the country. So with that, I want to start by talking just a little bit about our facilities, especially our new schools, kind of talk about what's on the horizon for the look of RUSD. And Peter, that's your whole world right now. So talk to us a little bit about what's on the horizon for us.
Absolutely. So as part of our district's long-range facilities master plan, we are in the process of upgrading our existing buildings as well as building new buildings and some additions at throughout our community. Most notable for new, we're excited in fall 2025 to welcome Schulte K-8, which will be brand new, as well as our Red Apple K-8, which we anticipate in early 2026, so for the 25-26 school year. But also we'll have Olympia Brown, a full K-8 coming from an elementary, and then also Horlick, just a few schools that we'll have coming up. We just opened up Jerset Ager Home K-8, fully renovated, as well as Starbuck K-8, our international school that supports our IB students, that added an elementary that made that a full-fledged K-8. Specific, though, as it relates to safety and security, we know that with these new buildings and with these renovations or add-ons, there's a great deal of safety components in addition to all the great educational adequacy work that we're doing. And really, safety to that end has multiple I don't say multiple branches, but there's multiple things to think about with safety. And so, you know, two big things that we like to think of are our life safety, as well as our perhaps more infrastructural safety. Mm-hmm. That infrastructural safety, you know, relates to upgraded fire alarm systems, new PA systems that we can buzz throughout the building in case there's an emergency, lighting, backup generators, you know, and then as we look at our life safety, you know, that's upgrading our can be as simple as stairway railing upgrades and fixing damaged bleachers. But I think also more importantly, and what we're seeing today are equipping our buildings, especially at our front entrances, and that is with ensuring all of our schools have secured entryways for our students and our families and community who are entering our buildings, and then also equipping them for our Evolve systems, which we are implementing throughout our K-8s and high schools here in RUSD.
Awesome. Would you say that a part of your work is that you always kind of have to keep in mind that our schools, whether they're new or getting renovated, whatever the case may be, it's a continuous addressing of safety and security of them?
Absolutely. And, you know, the needs of even 10 years ago are different than the needs of today. And so we are always working to ensure that while we're doing what we need to for now, we're also preparing our buildings for the future as well, whatever that may mean.
Turning to Eric and Jerome, you guys are relatively new to your roles, been heading up the district safety and security team for a year now, going into year two.
Correct.
And really, our buildings and the things that Peter just talked about are kind of a small portion of the measures that we do use on a daily basis to keep our students and staff safe in our schools. So we'll talk about a couple of different, I think, major things that are a little bit more front-facing for our community, but we'll start with really like the school safety plan, the district safety plan. You know, we have several buildings throughout the district. All are a little bit unique in how they're set up and kind of how they operate. So talk to us a little bit about like what goes into building these plans and what are all the things that you guys kind of, the big buckets that you guys have to keep in mind when implementing them.
You are absolutely right. All of our buildings are different. The staffs that are manning those buildings are all different. And so the way that we use buildings are different. And so, yes, it is multifaceted. There's a lot of different things that go into it. We oftentimes look at things like manpower or what resources that we have in buildings. So the amount of people that we have that may have safety roles within buildings will play a part into what a safety plan would look like. Mm-hmm. In some of our buildings, we have in the majority of our buildings, we have safety support staff members in our buildings who have responsibilities that revolve greatly around safety. Some of our buildings have six of them. Some of our buildings have one or two of them. And it's all dependent upon enrollment size. It's all dependent upon staff sizes, building sizes. And so all of those things have to be taken into account. The shape, the makeup of buildings also are taken into account. We have some buildings that are more rectangular shaped or square shaped. That may only be one or two floors, whereas we have some buildings that are three floors with a lot more extra space, nooks, crannies that we would have to ensure that we keep safe. So all of those things are taken into account when we make safety plans, understanding that no two schools are going to be the same, that particular instances that we see or incidents that we see in buildings oftentimes are not going to be exactly the same in any of those buildings. So making sure that, like Peter was saying, just understanding that safety oftentimes is progressive. The behaviors that we see in buildings, potential safety issues that we see in buildings, they change. We talk about yearly, but oftentimes they change daily. And so we have to make sure that we're keeping up with those trends and with those changes.
So both of you guys are former police officers. And so from your lens as a former law enforcement official to your lens as safety and security for RUSD, how do you see the approach to school safety and even school safety in general evolving over the last decade?
I would say in our community specifically, we build relationships, right? We're real on the COP model. And Eric and myself try to teach our safety support that. So it starts with relationships. It's easier to have a tougher conversation if you have a good relationship with a student or a staff member or anybody for the community instead of not having that relationship.
Yeah, I would agree. I think the community-oriented policing model was a model that Jerome and I were most comfortable with when we were in law enforcement. And so one of the first conversations that we both had with each other when we got into our roles was just the underlying understanding that we were going to base what we do on relationship building. We understand that we can work better with fellow staff members, with peers, with fellow coworkers in ways when the relationships that we have with them are closer. Understanding that you're not always going to see eye to eye with people, but at least when you're building relationships, you understand that the relationships that you have with other staff members, that helps us do our job more effectively. That matters. But then also when it comes to building relationships with students, we understand that our roles are not just based on physical safety, like we were talking about before with physical means or structural means, but also it's the perceived safety of our district and of our students. We want to ensure that our students can come to school, that they feel safe to come into our buildings, but then also to be in their classrooms and to do what they're in the buildings to do, and that's ultimately to learn. And so we want to make sure that our students feel safe, and then also our staff members. We want them to feel safe to be able to do what they're there to do, and that's to build up the minds of our young people. And we understand that if they don't feel safe when they're doing that, it's very difficult for them to do that as effectively as they possibly can.
I feel like that's a lot of pressure on you guys to make all of those things happen. What are some of the, besides, you know, you mentioned building relationships, but what are some of the techniques as a district and kind of the capacity that you build in your safety employees to create that in every building?
Yeah, as Jerome was just saying, I think he hit the nail on the head. He said, When we talk about S3s, we call our safety support staff members in our buildings, we call them S3s. We train them using that same model, that really that community oriented model, because ultimately we would love for them to be an extension of ourselves within the schools. And so when we would love to be in all schools at all times to work with as many young people, staff members, even visitors as we can, but we just can't. And so we try to train them to understand that relationship building is important. That we do want people to physically be safe, but we also want them to feel safe. And so that comes largely in part by relationship building. And then also understanding that when you have that relational equity, that it allows you the opportunity to have conversations that you otherwise wouldn't be able to have. So you may receive information earlier. You may receive information more openly when you have those relationships. So we've been able to keep particular things that may be, you know, unsafe in nature from happening based on relationships that are being built at the building level.
Yeah. And I say our safety support do a good job of like working events, right? They go to the basketball games, they go to the football games, the theater, band. We do everything. And we encourage that in the first day of our training, like, get out and work and know what these kids are doing. So when you see them in the hallway, you can talk about, oh, you did such a good job last night and stuff like that. Little stuff like that helps.
Peter, from a facility standpoint, how has the approach to school safety evolved through your lens?
Well, you know, the example that I've been thinking about is, you know, in terms of just taking a look at our secure entrances and the implementation of those across our district over the last couple of years and what will be completed through our long range plan. You know, Julian Thomas Elementary School is not a school that is so old. It was renovated and open in the early 2000s, and already, maybe not already, but that is a newer school that didn't have a secure vestibule for our families and our students. And so in taking a look at our current long-range plan, it's making sure that we are preparing for, or we are implementing that at that building. So again, it's keeping in mind, you know, as I said before, what are the needs of now and then what are the needs of the future? So even taking a look at glass in some areas that may be, we need to look at a high, they may be high risk. And so we want to make sure that we are putting impact resistant glass or we're equipping that.
Lots to think about. So you guys touched a lot upon, you know, the building of the support system and the building relationships that do a lot of good work as it relates to school safety, but we also have like physical materials in our buildings that also help with that. Top of the list is our Evolve scanners. Some schools started last year. We expanded this year. Talk a little bit about the Evolve centers and how they're just another tool in the toolbox to help ensure our schools are safe and secure.
Yeah. When it comes to safety and security, Peter hit on a lot of the layers that I want to talk about, but we take a layered approach when it comes to safety. And the Evolve weapon detection systems are another layer of that. And I think oftentimes when people see things like that implemented in schools or wherever you see it, in healthcare, at amusement parks, a lot of people think, well, that is their safety. But it's a misconception. It's a layer of our safety. And so it's a great layer. It's a very efficient, very effective layer that has worked very well for us. And so we're very fortunate to have those systems in our schools. We currently are able to, at the end of next week, we will now have all of our high schools, our alternative learning site, and all of our K-8s completely outfitted with Evolve weapon detection systems. And so it's great that we have them. We know that the systems that they work and that not only do they keep our buildings physically safe, but again, it hits on that perceived safety, the psychological safety of people, understanding that they don't have to question whether or not they're safe in that way, because those systems are at the doors of the majority of our schools.
Yeah. What are some other tools that we have in our pocket, those other layers?
So another layer of safety we have with that, we have squealers on our doors. So if a kid try to open the door for another kid or like they can't prop doors, we know where that door is open at. So we can go on the camera and check and see who did that. Our safety support, they do routine checks, exterior and interior. that's another layer of our support, and they mark down their what they found or what they observed in their check.
So our S3s are assigned areas within buildings. And when they're doing those checks, many of those areas contain bathrooms. And so in many cases, administrative staffs within buildings will only open certain bathrooms during certain parts of the day. Mm-hmm. And so those checks include bathrooms. So when we talk about, you know, a potential vaping issue, we can have staff members in those bathrooms to ensure that nobody is partaking in those actions. And then if we, you know, if we end up coming across somebody that is partaking in actions like that, we're there in real time to try to mitigate those issues, try to keep it from happening again, so that we're not just we're getting to the root of the issue. We're not just fixing symptoms, because at the end of the day, we not only want it to stop happening in our schools, we want it to stop happening in general. And so that's a way that we're able to do that as well.
So from all three of your different unique lenses, I know we talked a lot about secure entrances for staff and students, locked doors, Evolve scanners, things like that. It's got to be a tough job to balance the need for those things, especially in 2024, the need for the security while maintaining a welcoming environment for students and staff at the exact same time. I mean, some might say almost impossible. So how do you guys work every day to do that while having these safety measures in place and making sure that people are safe and secure to the best of our abilities, but also making them feel welcome and they belong and they're not, you know, walking into a sterile walk through a metal detector, give me your cell phone type of environment?
So a lot of what I witnessed and what we've seen is smiling faces at first, right? Smiling faces and music playing and just saying good morning and just have a positive environment. A lot of schools do that, and it's great. The kids are happy. They're high-fiving. Again, but that goes back to relationship building as well.
I would agree with that. I think I keep coming back to it, but it really is a lot of what we do is building relationships and understanding the why behind what we do. So when you know the intentions of the people that are implementing safety measures within buildings or within our district, we try to get in buildings as much as we can so that people can understand the why behind what we do. Our heart is to protect our staff, our students, our visitors. That really is our heart behind what we do. And so if people can get behind what it is, what our hearts are, is to really protect people. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes it's a little easier you can breathe a little easier understanding that while we will not sacrifice safety for convenience, I may be more willing to maybe be slightly inconvenienced for a safety measure if I understand the why behind it. Mm-hmm. I think that's a big part of what we do, is really try to, again, I hit on it time and time again, is build those relationships so people can really understand the why behind what it is that we do.
Peter, do you kind of come at it from a similar angle when designing a secure entrance, or, you know, maybe some aesthetic of a building that would look great with glass, but you don't use glass?
Mm-hmm. That's definitely some of the considerations that we take on with our architectural engineers as we sit down to design the building, you know, balancing the aesthetic, but not compromising our safety. You know, Jerome mentioned the smiling faces and the relationships that the staff that are at the front doors at those Evolve centers have, and they most certainly do. And so it is a very painless process when you come into any of our buildings. So that also goes really a long way in that. But we definitely do take that into account to make sure that our families, our community, and especially our students don't feel that they're walking into an environment that is so sterile or makes them feel like they are in a setting that is not a wonderful learning environment. Mm-hmm.
So our colleague always says that safety is a community issue. And while it makes some of us roll our eyes the amount of times she says it, it is true. It starts with us, and it starts with, you know, our architects on our new schools and our principals and the people working the scanners. But everyone in the community has to be concerned about safety. And it really truly is a community issue. So how do you guys deal with that on a daily basis with things that are just simply out of your control, but you almost have to have them in your control because these kids are coming back into the buildings?
Safety is everybody's responsibility. And I think without relational equity, to hear that makes it seem like with me having safety in my job title, my job description, that I'm trying to pawn off my responsibilities onto other people. But really the sentiment behind it is really that something as simple as, you know, a teacher being out in the hallway during passing time can serve as an act of keeping your school safe or keeping a building safe. Something as simple as saying hi in the morning, a smiling face like we talked about. All of those things, actually, believe it or not, they serve as a safety measure that are practiced in our building. So when we say things like safety is everybody's responsibility, it truly is. And it's something that oftentimes we overlook. We don't understand in many cases how powerful a hello or a good morning is. Jerome says it all the time, and I'm going to steal his thunder. It's you know, you could tell a kid hello, you could tell a kid good morning every single morning for an entire school year, and it's the one morning that you don't say it that they're like, well, why didn't they say it? Why didn't they say it to me? Even if they're not saying it back any other time before that. And so, we truly believe that safety is everybody's responsibility, and we appreciate how much people district-wide have prioritized safety to make sure that our kids have a safe learning environment.
Well, I really appreciate you all coming and taking the time to chat today. I want to just, we've talked about a lot of different things, a lot of different topics really important regarding safety and both the physical and mental aspect of it. And I just want to give you three a chance just to, any final thoughts, any last words as we kind of wrap up this safe start to the school year.
You know, I just want to say, you know, thank you for bringing us on to talk about some of the things that we're doing on many different venues here in RUSD, both from the building level relationships, the work that Jerome and Eric are doing in terms of safety and security, also what we're doing in our buildings to make sure that our facilities are safe and secure. You know, I know our information systems office also is working on cybersecurity and making sure that our students' records and data are also something that are protected. So safety really extends through multiple departments and concentrations here at RUSD. And we are always working to make sure that our students and staff, that their safety and security is paramount.
I want to echo what Peter said. I'm thankful for the opportunity to talk a little bit about safety. Safety is oftentimes a very difficult thing to quantify. And so for us to be able to come on and talk a little bit about what we're doing district-wide with safety is great. It's oftentimes hard to be able to say what was stopped based on certain safety measures that are put in place. So I'm excited about the opportunity to talk about some of the things that we've been doing. I would just echo again that, you know, safety, it really is everybody's responsibility. But in that vein, I would just say that, you know, if there's something that's going on in any of your buildings, or if there's anything going on, don't be afraid to say something, not even just to Jerome and myself. We say recently we've been saying that there's not just two directors of safety, there's 3,000 of them. So if there's something that just doesn't sit right, tell your administrative staffs, tell your principals, or reach out to Jerome and myself, and we'd love to help you out.
I just want to say thank you for having me on too. If you see Eric or myself in the building, please stop us and have a conversation with us. Again, like, we love building relationships, so please stop and talk to us and we'll have the conversation. You see something, say something.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys again for taking the time to chat today. And listeners, thank you for joining us, and watch additional episodes of Are You in the Know coming soon.